Milwaukee infrastructure systems are increasingly burdened by erratic weather, and communities of color are dealing with dated water infrastructure, like lead laterals, among other issues. Richard Diaz is a founding member of the Milwaukee Coalition on Lead Emergency. He's also water infrastructure field manager with Blue Green Alliance, an organization that brings together labor unions and environmentalists to work towards an economy that's sustainable for both people and the planet. WUWM digital producer Graham Thomas is joined by Diaz to learn more about the relationship between environmental justice and infrastructure here in Milwaukee.
So, Richard, could you just give us an overview of how climate change is impacting communities of color here in Milwaukee?
Certainly. Well, the extreme weather events that have been happening across the country impact all Americans and the most vulnerable populations, you know, those being people of color, and then also those who are low income and just don't have the resources to protect themselves are going to be those vulnerable pockets. And here in Milwaukee, we see as more snowfall comes in or more annual precipitation, be it snowfall or rain, those really hard hit pockets in Milwaukee, 53206, 53205, 53208, those are the communities where families don't have the resources to pick up and take off, right? If you are impacted by a flood or a water main leak or failure and water gets into your home, you know, and my median income is $15,000 per year, I'm not going to have, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 out of pocket to pay a contractor to come in and remediate. So in Milwaukee, we see climate change hit hardest a few months ago when I think it was on Frederick Avenue on the east side when there was rain that turned to snow and there was a water main leak or failure. And there was about 2 feet of water that instantly turned to ice and the cars parked out on the street were totaled, right? So, you know, we are not financially equipped to handle the burden of extreme weather events or climate change. And as we see more annual precipitation, as we see the climate migration happen, as more communities from the coasts move to Midwest cities and move to Great Lakes states, we'll see those vulnerable populations not being able to keep up.
I'd like to ask you about the lead crisis in Milwaukee. We'll get to the MPS lead crisis in a moment, mm-hmm. but first, what can you tell me about the status of lead pipes and lead service line replacement in Milwaukee?
Certainly. Well, we are in a lot different boat than what we were when the lead service line replacement program began less than 10 years ago. Milwaukee has rapidly increased its pace of replacement from doing about 1,200 lead service lines in a single construction season in 2023 to 2024, jumping by about 1,000, which is just huge progress, right? And then we also see with the mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, and the Common Council working together to create the equity prioritization plan that goes into the most vulnerable census tracts in the city and eliminates any cost share that a ratepayer may have to pay to get their service line replaced. And, you know, proactively, not reactively, proactively opens up the ground and replaces the lead pipes. I think we are on an upward trend of where we can go with this. And when I think about the impact of the bipartisan infrastructure law, I think about cities like Milwaukee really being leaders in how those dollars have been accessed from the state and how those dollars have been spent with lead service line replacement projects.
Let's turn now to the lead crisis at MPS. So far this year, more than half a dozen Milwaukee schools have been temporarily closed by the Milwaukee Health Department for lead paint cleanup. Lead paint has, of course, been an issue in Milwaukee for decades. It was banned by the EPA in the 1970s. And so, Richard, could you tell us, how did we get here?
Yeah, great question, Graham. We got here because we are waiting for disaster to happen before we take action, right? It isn't until a child is poisoned that we act. Right. There's this term, children are the canary in the coal mine when it comes to lead poisoning. And it's so true. Right. And the CDC says that the children that have elevated lead levels that don't receive interventions are oftentimes the ones that grow up with antisocial behavior. And, you know, you see research about correlations between lead poisoning and violent crime. You know, per every 5 micrograms per deciliter, you become increasingly more likely to commit a act of violence at some point in your life. So during my time with the Coalition on Lead Emergency as a volunteer, we advocated for the blood lead level to trigger an investigation by our health department We advocated for that level to be a lot lower. At that time, the health department would only crank out, 100 lead poisoning cases per year at an action level of 20 micrograms per deciliter. And in 2021, we projected that had the level to conduct investigations gone down to, at that point, the CDC's definition of what would trigger an investigation, which was 5 micrograms per deciliter, that caseload would jump by about 1,500, And back in 2021, when we did that advocacy, we found out that to fully abate a unit in a household was about $25,000. Hmm. As the health department has conducted more investigations and abated more homes, we've seen over the past 4 years that with inflation and the cost of living going up, we've seen that price increase for just a home, right, to now close to $50,000 per unit. I can only imagine what the price tag is for schools.
I spoke recently with some folks from Lead Safe Schools, MKE, and many of them seem relatively satisfied with the Milwaukee Health Department's response to the crisis thus far, but they're disappointed with how Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has responded. So the mayor's office recently made a statement to Spectrum News saying that, quote, any accusation that the city has dropped the ball in school maintenance is completely without merit, unquote. What do you make of the mayor's response to the lead crisis at MPS?
I think the mayor has his plate full with the amount of priorities to respond to. As Common Council President, current Mayor Johnson was a very integral point of the Coalition on Lead Emergencies advocacy to lower the blood action level. But unfortunately, there aren't enough resources to thoroughly investigate every lead poisoning situation for a child at the CDC's recommended level. The city doesn't have money to respond to things like that, right? And I think the mayor is open to different ideas and has the opportunity to coalition build and work with groups like Lead Safe Schools, MKE, Coalition on Lead Emergency, and other advocates out there that hope to get this done. But not only do we not have enough resources, we also don't have the right procurement and contracting space to get skilled and licensed contractors into these schools, into these homes to perform abatement, right? To be certified to conduct a lead abatement project, you got to go through a week of training, right? 2 weeks of training, which, there is some good stuff in those trainings, but there's nothing about how to work in the construction field long term. There's nothing certifying you necessarily to utilize certain tools to be able to conduct an abatement job. So I think that non-union contractors that work in the housing space are really bad for workers. Before the pandemic, the Social Development Commission found that on average, contractors were paying workers about $12 an hour. I'd argue none of the contractors performing lead abatement work at a large scale are signatory to any union and are literally just taking people off the street to make this happen. So that's not good for our city. That's not good for the homes or the schools that may be remodeled. This low bar for contracting in the lead abatement space is really going to cost the city more money.
I know sometimes there is at least an alleged tension between policies that are good for labor and good for the environment and good for people of color, sort of a siloing off of these three different domains. How do environmental, racial, and economic justice come together in Blue-Green Alliance's work?
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We released a paper a few years back called the Solidarity for Racial Action, which basically lays out, how we protect the built environment, how we respond to climate change and extreme weather events, and how we prioritize communities that are hit harder, that are oftentimes the Black, Indigenous, Brown, and other people of color groups. It is a tightrope to walk, being blue and being green, and there are a lot of areas where we don't agree, but BGA is built on a consensus model where we find the things we agree on and work on those things, in which lead service line replacement is one of those that really speak to the epitome of what we stand for.
Richard Diaz, thank you so much for joining us on Lake Effect.
Richard Diaz is a founding member of the Milwaukee Coalition on Lead Emergency and Water Infrastructure Field Manager with Blue-Green Alliance. He spoke with WUWM digital producer Graham Thomas as a part of our Earth Week series.